Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. We're celebrating the 4th of July. We're celebrating America's Independence Day a little bit early, just a little bit, just a couple of days, but we'll be doing the whole thing on Monday. We got a great slate of folks lined up to be here on Monday, and I'm really looking forward to getting all those guys on the show. But right now we're gonna do some celebrating with our good friend Dennis Pogue. Dennis is Associate Director of Mount Vernon, the home of the father of our country, George Washington. And he's Associate Director over there for Preservation. And he's been with us many times before, especially on this day, to talk to us about what's going on over there in our nation's capital and environs hard by to our nation's capital. Dennis Pogue, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim, always a pleasure to be with you.
It's good to have you back. You know, Dennis, I can never think about George Washington without thinking of what he did, what he gave this country when he came to the end of his second term as president. He gave this country a gift that a lot of people don't think about. And that gift was, and I'm going to sort of quote George Will. He said this once, maybe better than I've ever heard it said or heard it thought. And I'll try to quote him the best I can. That when he was given the opportunity to do more, he did less. When he was given the opportunity to become, to be president for a third term, which he would have been shoot in for a third term, he chose to step down, and that was a gift that became a precedent that basically, even though it was broken in the 30s by Roosevelt, still is something that's deep inside of the American culture. What do you think?
Well, absolutely, Jim. You know, he really set the precedent there, and he was the and people knew it at the time. You know, George III, King George. Mentioned that if Washington really stepped down at the end of his presidency, he'd be the greatest man in world history.
Is that right?
Because nobody else had done that.
Yeah.
So it was a remarkable feat that everybody at the time pointed to and realized was hugely important.
In The Fortunes of the Republic, Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote this: "We began with freedom. America was opened after the feudal mischief was spent. No inquisitions here, no kings." And that was something that obviously was deep inside of Washington, and I mean he obviously felt that so deeply he didn't even want to imagine he knew he wouldn't allow himself to be king, but don't you think he probably thought I'm not thinking of myself. I'm not thinking about myself, but if I set this precedent now, others coming behind me may not do the right thing, and this could revert into where we have kings again.
Again, I think you're absolutely correct. And the thing about Washington is, you know, he was a man just like everybody else. He wasn't perfect. And I like to say that when he started off, his vision was a very personal one. You know, he wanted to be successful personally. He wanted to have a family, do all of that. But over the course of his life, because his career, you know, expanded into this public area, the last couple decades of his life, his vision had expanded so broadly, so that almost everything he did and said and thought about was looking down the road to, you know, the future of the country and what needed to be done that he could do the best that he could to ensure its success, you know, after his passing.
Well, one thing for sure, his career had given him the benefit of that perspective, that long-term perspective, hadn't it? Especially leading the army. And how many times did he look out across his endeavor during the war and say to himself, how can we win this? And then they did win. And that had to give him a perspective that helped him to lead as he did. What do you think?
Again, yes, absolutely. And he, you know, for much of the war, you know, we forget this oftentimes, but, you know, Congress was being chased around the countryside. You know, we weren't in very good shape for a lot of the war, as you're suggesting. And so Washington really thought, you know, it was up to him to keep the army together as long as he continued to have the army and be in the field and be active, you know, then the war effort had a chance. And so he really, you know, internalized that. And that really shaped his vision for the rest of his life and for the future of the country.
Well, there was even one letter, and you probably know about this letter. I just know of it, and where that he wrote about when he was looking out the window at his men who were starving and freezing. And I guess it was at I'm trying to think of the
Valley Forge.
I just couldn't get it out. At Valley Forge, he wrote a letter to someone. I think it actually got sent, where he just basically despaired of how, you know, it was literally a letter of despair, wasn't it?
It was, and again, he had a personal and a public front, you know, and personally, and talking to his friends and all of that, they certainly, you know, shared their concerns. But of course, the public front was, you know, he was the leader, and he needed to, you know, spread confidence, you know, that we're going to succeed.
And that's what leaders do.
And I think Washington is the definition of what a leader should be.
No question about it. And of course, then after he finished his days of service to the country, then he retired and became a gentleman farmer. And you now are one of the stewards of that property.
I am, and it's a great pleasure. The Ladies Association have owned and operated Mount Vernon. And
remind us who they are.
Well, they're a group of ladies that formed in 1853 with the express purpose of acquiring Mount Vernon so that they could preserve it and keep it open to everybody. And they've owned and operated Mount Vernon for 150 years.
So it's been available as a sort of a national treasure for that long, continuously.
150 years, and this is the anniversary of the ladies actually taking over the property. So
wow,
a century and a half.
How about that? Congratulations on that milestone. Give us the website, Dennis.
www.mountvernon.org.
Mountvernon.org. Check it out, folks, when you get a chance. And, of course, if you get a chance to go there, you're not going to want to miss that. And when we come back after these messages, Dennis is going to tell us a little bit about what's going on there at Mount Vernon over the holiday and some of the new stuff. And I think you might be surprised at one of the new products that they're – of course, if you've been listening to my show for very long and you heard Dennis before, you won't be too surprised. 20 after, right back after these messages with Dennis Pogue. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
Welcome back. We got a couple of anniversaries to celebrate right now, and one of them is the fourth anniversary of Dennis Pogue being a member of our Brain Trust. Dennis Pogue, you joined us 4 years ago, and for the first time, and this is your fourth anniversary. Thank you for being part of our Brain Trust for this long and bringing all the great information. So happy anniversary, baby. And then, of course, also we have. We have the 150th anniversary of Mount Vernon that you told us about a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
So happy anniversary to you, and happy anniversary to the ladies and all your folks there at Mount Vernon.
And then the biggest anniversary of all coming up on Sunday.
The big one, 234 years. That's right. We got the big one coming up there, and we're very excited about that. Speaking of which, and by the way, folks, I'm Jim Blassingame, and you probably already knew that. Dennis Pogue is our guest. He's with the folks at he's one of the great stewards there at Mount Vernon. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com, and Dennis, what is yours?
www.mountvernon.org.
Mount Vernon, all spelled out, right? mountvernon.org. They can find out all the new things there too, right? Some of the new things you got going on.
Oh yeah, we've got great stuff there on the distillery that we're going to talk about, and all the events this weekend.
Tell us about what's going to happen this weekend at Mount Vernon.
Well, on the 4th, we have a full slate. So if you're in the area, you know, come on down. There's stuff for everybody. We start off with a wreath laying down at the tomb, and then we have a naturalization ceremony. We've done this for several years.
Oh, I know that. I always get chills when you talk about that. Tell the audience what happens.
Yeah, it's great. There are 100 folks there, and it's on the bowling green, and they go through the ceremony, so they become American citizens.
How many will be there this time, you think?
100 folks will be.
100 people, ladies and gentlemen, think about that. 100 brand new shiny Americans, like a shiny new penny. 100 shiny new Americans taking the oath of citizenship on the 4th of July. How much cooler could it be than that?
Well, hopefully it could be a little cooler since it's going to be about 95 degrees that day. But no, I think I can't imagine a better setting. And everybody that's there gets choked up.
I'm getting choked up just thinking about it. Okay, so then what else? How many people do you think will be there altogether the whole day?
Oh, there'll be 6,000 to 8,000 people.
Probably. Wow, wow. What's it cost to get in?
It's $15 for an adult,
yeah,
and then seniors and kids are, smaller charge.
So it's no small revenue day for you guys either, right?
Oh, exactly.
let's be honest. Business is business.
Yep, we're happy to have folks come. We
absolutely.
We get about a million visitors a year over the course of the
week. You don't get the day off that day, do you?
Well, actually, I only have to come in and do some interviews.
Okay,
so
good.
I'll only be there part of the time.
Well, you've already done your work getting things ready. Talk to us about this new product that I was mentioning earlier.
Sure. Well, we've talked before. One of the really interesting things about George Washington, of course, is that in addition to his public career, he had an incredible private career, and he was quite a businessman. And late in his life, he got involved in whiskey distilling, built a distillery.
For medicinal purposes only, though, right?
Well, it was a commercial venture. He made 11,000 gallons one year.
Wow.
He made a big profit. It was
11,000 gallons? That's a lot of rye whiskey.
A lot of rye whiskey. It was one of the largest distilleries in the country at the time. And we've reconstructed the building, so when you come, you can go down there and you can see how whiskey was made 200 years
ago. And you actually making rye whiskey. And is it now, do you have his recipe? How did you make it?
Yeah, we do have his recipe.
So you're actually able to replicate that, and you made some.
We did.
And you sold it.
And we do it. We make it in the distillery using the stills like he had, and the recipe, and everything exactly like it was done 200 years ago.
And now, how did you deal with the revenuers?
Well, we're licensed by TTB and VABC and all those folks. We had to go through a lengthy process to be able to do it legally, and we do. Now, we don't make whiskey on a daily basis. We demonstrate the process.
Right. But you sold a bunch. You sold 400 pints or half pints, or what did you do?
We didn't go into this really to get into the whiskey business, but people have been so interested in what Washington's product would have been like that we decided that we'd make enough that we could offer it for sale. So we did that yesterday. We bottled 471 bottles. They're
how big a bottle are we talking here?
Yeah, 375 milliliters.
Okay, so that's a basically a pint, right?
Exactly.
Is that a pint? Something like that. So that's half of a fifth, I guess. And so half of a liter. And so and how much did you sell them for?
Well, it was kind of pricey, $85.
Oh.
Because it's a one-of-a-kind limited edition.
That's sipping whiskey. you're not going to dilute that. You're going to sip that with something.
I think you put it on your shelf and look at it.
Exactly. But if I come there, can I get a nip? Can I get a taste?
Yes, I can give you a nip.
All right, so I'll be counting on that. What else? I got 30 seconds. What else is going on this weekend at Mount Vernon?
Well, in addition to the naturalization ceremony, then we've got daytime fireworks, which are pretty special.
Yep.
And then we've got a number of musical groups there. We've got the 1st Virginia Regiment will be there, and they'll do Revolutionary War music.
And they got that theater. They got that theater with all the physical ambiance too, right?
Absolutely. We've got the Education Center where we've got artifacts.
It's magnificent.
Several films. And
hey, Dennis, I got to wrap it up. Happy 4th of July.
Thank you, Jeff.
Happy anniversary to you and the ladies there, and thanks for being a great member of our Brain Trust all these years.
Been great fun. Thank you.
Dennis Pogue, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. We're glad we know him. Got to take a quick break. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Carry the bottle, mama. It's grapefruit wine.
Prosperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.